Next on the DVD marquee in fabulous Technicolor.
1 hour ago. 1 hour ago. A disaster took place.
Now we're going to need all our manpower until we can determine that it is a crime investigation.
It is a crime investigation.
2 hours ago.
2 hours ago.
A victim was murdered.
What do you got for me?
A couple of kids found a woman face down in the waters off Algiers Point.
3 days ago.
3 days ago.
A killer set his plan in motion.
You think you know what's coming? You don't have a clue.
But what if you could go back to stop the crime before it ever happened?
Hi again, and welcome to another edition of the DVD Marquee, show number 29. My name is Jeffrey Rosato, and today we're going to be talking about a film that didn't do very well at the box office. Well, actually, I think it grossed around between maybe 50 and 60 million, but just for a Denzel Washington film, not very impressive. So I bet the folks at Touchstone Home Video are hoping that they can recoup some of their investment with the DVD release of Deja Vu. Now, I couldn't help noticing that when I looked at the keep case, or the front of the keep case, that it says from the producer of Pirates of the Caribbean, Dead Man's Chest, and the director of Enemy of the State. Now, without meaning to, it seems like they're almost, you know, semi-apologizing. It's like, hey, we've done these two great films in the past, and even though we've got this, you know, Deja Vu in big, bright letters, hopefully you're going to like it just as much as those two movies, but no promises. Maybe it's just me. I don't know. Anyway, I do have to tell you that I was a bit more confident when I saw the name Tony Scott listed as the director. Now, in the last 15 years, Tony Scott has directed some of the most entertaining movies I've ever seen. There's no way they're going to make an AFI list, but you know what? They're kind of like the equivalent of great, greasy, juicy hamburgers, you know, that are really bad for you in terms of cholesterol, you know, those greasy spoon places, you know, where you got the French fries and stuff, and they still feel like they just, you know, they're soaking wet. Well, that's the equivalent of a Tony Scott film to me. Stuff like The Last Boy Scout, True Romance, and some little film from 1986 you might remember called Top Gun. You know, a lot of his movies are kind of like B-movies, and I mean that in the most sincere way, because oftentimes we go to B-movies or, say, those types of film that only certain audiences appreciate, almost like cult movies. So keeping that in mind, I felt a little bit more comfortable. I wasn't dreading this as much as I thought I would be, you know, based on the previews and stuff. And as the opening credits rolled, I found a lot of actors whose work I've enjoyed a lot during the years. A pretty impressive cast, including the likes of Val Kilmer, James Caviezel, Adam Goldberg, Bruce Greenwood. Pretty doggone good cast for a film like this. Not major stars, mind you, but well above average. Well, let me try and set up the film for you briefly, if I can, for those of you who haven't seen it yet. It's Fat Tuesday in New Orleans. The city's still kind of in a blue funk over Hurricane Katrina. And then all of a sudden, a ferry explodes. And to make matters worse, a lot of the victims are military personnel and a lot of kids. So here comes Denzel to the rescue as ATF agent Doug Carlin. And it's another one of those great Tony Scott slow motion shots, you know, with the cheesy action adventure story in the background, you know, and Denzel's kind of looking around, you know. I know I'm here to take care of business, man. And then he runs into Val Kilmer's character, who's an FBI agent. Anyway, together, they eventually wind up in this really high-tech looking facility that's able to tap into satellite images that go inside people's homes and what have you. And it's discovered that the alleged terrorist had a connection with a young woman played by Paula Patton. And being a typical guy who looks at a great-looking woman, and boy, Paula Patton is indeed a fine-looking woman, I want to tell you, he starts becoming obsessed, almost to the point of Christopher Reeve-type fascination with Jane Seymour in Somewhere in Time. And he wants to find out more about her. Okay, so we have kind of an unusual mix of CSI-type plotting with a bit of a romantic love story going on, but where the film failed in the first hour for me was some of the most incomprehensible dialogue I've heard in my life, to the point that I don't even think that a Star Trek fan could figure out what the heck they were saying.
Somebody explain it!
We were attempting to use concentrated bursts of energy to enhance the sensitivity of optical telescopes. In the process, we had a breakthrough. Given enough energy, we could warp the very fabric of space.
I said, explain it to me, not talk science. Why don't you guys just keep talking? I'll just sit here until you figure out what it is you really want to tell.
They found a way to fold space back onto itself.
All right, look. We're used to viewing space as flat, right? Like this piece of paper. To see something from a distance, light has always had to travel the long way across the flat space in between. But given what I was trying to explain, we could fold the space, bring the target closer to us, create what's known as an Einstein-Rosen bridge, otherwise known as a wormhole, suspend it via gravitational field.
That's what we're looking at.
And part of me is like, God, I'm almost ready to give up on this movie. It's just not making any sense. It's not going anywhere. Where's the action? And it's just as soon as that thought came into my head, bam! The second half of this movie is nothing short of brilliant. And when they explore the time travel part of the story where Denzel is able to go back 4 days earlier and try to twist things around to his advantage so he can nail this bad guy played by Caviezel, it becomes a very entertaining movie. And also one that I think would probably lend itself to repeat viewings, because I have a really good friend of mine who's a big Denzel Washington fan, Edie. And by the way, Edie, hi to you and your family listening out there. And when she went back to see it a second time, she had such a good time, she went back and saw it twice. She noticed a couple of neat little, almost Easter egg-ish plot points that make more sense if you go back and watch the film a second time. Now, I'm not going to go back and watch all 128 minutes of this right away, but it does intrigue me to the point of where I think if I gave it a second viewing, I might like it a lot better now that I've gotten my disappointment over the first hour out of the way, because the second hour is just simply fantastic. So I'm giving this like a mild recommendation. You know, it's not my favorite Tony Scott film, but it's got enough going for it to where I think this film is at least worth a rental. But I'll tell you why I really like this DVD a lot, and it was because of the special features. Now, there's two ways that you can access these featurettes, and there are like 7 of them, including how they did that incredible fairy explosion at the beginning of the film, talking about New Orleans and how they helped the city kind of get back on its feet by bringing money in, by making this film there, and how they did that incredible split time car chase, which I don't want to give anything away because I don't want to destroy the enjoyment of you experiencing it for the first time, but I will say that it's one of the most innovative twists on a car chase that I've seen in a long, long time, and I absolutely adored it. As a matter of fact, here's a bit of dialogue from Denzel's character during this part of the film, which kind of echoed my thoughts.
This is tripping.
I love that part. Now, as I was saying, there are two ways that you can access these featurettes. You can look at them on their own. They total about 37 minutes in all. It's a nice little set of behind-the-scenes packages that really give you a feel for how much work goes into preparing a film like this. And it looks like everybody's just having a lot of fun. Paula Patton is just like a ball of enthusiasm, having the time of her life.
Knowing that I'm in the hands of this kind of level of filmmaking that is just this big budget, there's many cameras, and all the crew members you're working with have worked on some of the best movies, you know? It's just this incredible experience. I'm like, I can't believe I'm here.
Now, as I was saying, there are two ways that you can watch these featurettes. You can watch them either all at once or individually, depending on what you want to do, or if you want to watch the movie and get a feel of how it was done sequentially, there's a very innovative, impressive commentary track that I found that I couldn't access at first. I tried to access it while going back and going to the start of the movie and pressing the audio options on my DVD remote, but it wasn't working. What you have to do is that you have to, in the special features section, you have to choose the option that will allow you to watch the movie with these featurettes coming at the various parts of the film and how they relate to the action going on screen. But instead of reliving the film audio-wise like you did the first time, there's this commentary track with Tony Scott, Jerry Bruckheimer, and co-writer Terry Rossio, or Rossio. I'm going to have to get a pronunciation guide for some of these people on these films that I'm reviewing, because I just hate butchering names. So, Terry, if you're out there listening, and I don't think you are, but just in case, if I'm saying your name wrong, I do apologize. And I have to tell you, even though I listened to about maybe 30 to 35 minutes of it, it's one of the most impressive commentary tracks I've ever heard. And another thing that I liked about it, how these little featurettes pop up during certain parts of the film, there's no White Rabbit or Red Pill or whatever the heck it was in the Matrix DVD. Remember that? When you had to follow the White Rabbit or something like that. And you had to wait for this icon to access a behind-the-scenes featurette. No having to worry about it or hit the remote at the right time with the way things are set up on this disc. It automatically goes to every featurette one by one and returns you to the film immediately following. It does all the driving for you, and I think it's simply fantastic. There's also the usual amount of deleted and extended scenes. I didn't really find any of them intriguing, and I think they were all cut for the right reasons. Sound-wise, I don't know if I'm getting a little bit more blasé or if I've seen one too many action films, but it's, you know, typical, you know, it's a decent surround soundtrack, you know, good old-fashioned 5.1. A lot of emphasis on the low end, as you would expect in an action film, but nothing really in the way of a standout. Picture-wise, it's kind of typical Tony Scott. It's kind of got that almost sepia tone look, kind of a cross between sepia tone and color. And those of you who have seen Tony Scott's past films will know what I'm talking about. If you're not really familiar with the cinematic style, there is nothing wrong with your DVD player or the color on your television set. It's just typical Tony Scott visuals. And in my opinion, it's a really good-looking transfer and one that I would definitely love to see in HD. But even in typical 16:9 standard definition form, it's a good-looking disc. So while I'm willing to give it a marginal seal of approval in terms of entertainment value, this is one of those discs where I found the making ofs to be more fascinating and more entertaining than the film itself, so go figure. Anyway, that's my take on Deja Vu, starring Denzel Washington, Val Kilmer, and Paula Patton, out now from Touchstone Home Video. And again, we thank Buena Vista Home Video for supplying us with a copy for the show. Now, folks, as you may have noticed, I've kind of been by my lonesome for these last few minutes, and it's because we're trying a few new things on the show. As you've noticed, my usual co-host, Stan Williams, hasn't been here with me, but he is working on a brand new short film, and keeping that in mind, we're going to be bringing in some fresh voices to help out with the show from time to time. Matter of fact, I sat down with my good friend Alan Berry, and we talked about Chow Yun-Fat's Curse of the Golden Flower. That's going to be on a future show. Jeff Cook sat in with me to talk about The Pursuit of Happiness. We've got that coming up. And a recent pinch hitter who was so nice enough to come in at the very last minute and talk Academy Awards 2007, my good buddy Scott McCauley, is going to be back with us. So I hope you'll continue to listen to the show as we try and get these reviews to you a little bit more timely and closer to when they arrive in your stores. Speaking of which, next time out, Stan Williams and I back together again to talk about the Golden Globe Award-winning Dreamgirls. And we'll be talking about the two-disc Showstopper edition. It was one of the most entertaining films I saw last year, or one of the few that I actually ventured out to go see before DVD, so I kind of already have the plot line and all kind of memorized. It's kind of a rare thing for me, so I'm really looking forward to talking about all the special features and reliving Jennifer Hudson's fantastic Oscar-winning performances, and also some highly underrated work by Beyoncé, and what can you say about Eddie Murphy, except Eddie, I would have held Norbit back for a few weeks, and you might have gone home with some gold, buddy, but that's another story. Anyway, we'll talk about Dreamgirls, the two-disc showstopper edition, on the next edition of the DVD Marquee. Once again, if you have any comments, pro or con, I can take constructive criticism. I'm a big boy. You can write us at thedvdmarquee@gmail.com. As usual, our thanks to the Home Theater Forum for helping make the show possible. And until next time, I'm Jeffrey Rosato for the DVD Marquee. My time is up. I thank you for yours. See you next time.